Saints' decision to start Taysom Hill this week. An around-the-horn investigation into whether Sean Payton is infatuated with Taysom Hill. I think we might be leaning that way. And also whether this is all just a big fake-out. And how the Seahawks crunched Kyler with this panel. Let's go. Mm. 2 days ago, I gave it to you that Sean Payton, in a very Sean Payton move, would say, I'm starting Taysom Hill just to go to Jameis and play two. I'll see if anybody's buying in a second. Last week, the Hail Mary. This week, Kyler Murray didn't even get the ball out. Carlos Dunlap on a three-man rush, putting Murray down, and that's how the game ended. Seahawks 28, Cardinals 21. Seattle back out in front in the NFC West. Russell Wilson back to being near perfect, zero turnovers. And there is now order once again to the world. Sarah, did Seattle show you they're still the best team in the division? Maybe the entire conference?
I know you're the one that asks the questions and we give the answers, but let me posit this. If we were to replace this week's result with last week's in terms of the timeline, mm-hmm. and we watched this game last week and then we watched the Seahawks get crushed by the Rams in the manner that they did, would we be asking the same question? I'm just wondering if we're being a little bit too certain that what we saw last, this result with the Seahawks, it means that everything's fixed for them. Yeah, their defense looked better and they did get some players back, but the Cardinals had 10 penalties for 115 yards. Kyler Murray wasn't 100%. They only had four healthy defensive linemen. This doesn't necessarily prove to me that the Seahawks have fixed their problem, which is very clearly their defense. It means that Russell Wilson kept a clean slate and kept them from having to pay off his mistakes as well, and the defense did a much better job than what we've seen. I think we might just be stuck in thinking this game is everything, and I'd like to see what happens.
So you've got more questions, understandable. While you're saying all that, I was looking at Tim Kalisha's face. It looked like he was reading the back of the cereal box. Like he was really thrown by what he was taking in here. Go ahead, Tim.
There's a lot to take in there, but as the only longtime Cardinals fan here for unexplained reasons, mainly I liked their helmets when I was 10 years old, I'll say this. This is kind of the thing you expect after a big win. They shouldn't have had to play another game in 4 days. They're still living off the high of that Buffalo win. But to get to this game, their defense has to play better, even though they didn't give up a ton of points. Thanks to next-gen stats, we know Russell Wilson threw another touchdown pass where he had over 6 seconds to pick out a receiver. That was Metcalf on the first.
Hold on a second. What's going on here? Why do you seem insulted by the fact that next? Why do you say that with such disdain that now we know he had 6 seconds?
I said that as straightforwardly as I give you those PFF rankings every now and then. I can't be any more direct. I'm just giving you numbers and letters. But beyond that, the defense has to play better. And Kyler Murray needed to run the ball on that last series. He did not run the ball. They held him to 15 yards. A little bit of that is on Kyler.
Kevin, can you focus on Seattle first? Did Seattle prove to you they are once again the team to beat in the division and conference?
Well, let me posit this, and I know you're the one that asked the questions, but what are we going to say in about 4 weekends after they have run through the NFC East as well as the New York Jets and added four more W's to their resume? Okay. Yeah. Then what are we going to say? And yes, their defense played much better. They were healthier, and Russell Wilson no longer had the hiccups of the turnovers that he had the past few weeks. So, yeah, I can make the argument that this team is back to what we were thinking they could be at the beginning of this year when Russell Wilson was putting up MVP stats. They are that good, especially if their defense can do what it did last night.
And Jackie on the Seahawks, are they who you thought they were? Did they get back to being, you know, the best team in the conference?
I don't know. There were so many questions you just asked me. I'm happy to try to answer all of them, Tony.
Thank you very much.
I mean,
it just warms my heart that you guys.
It'd be my pleasure. Here's the thing with Seattle that stands out to me. Yes, Russell Wilson had no turnovers. He looked very efficient. He did very well. But look at the total yards. He played a very conservative game. That's not the same Russell Wilson earlier in the year that we were talking about as an MVP candidate. Not a criticism, just an observation. They've pulled back Russell Wilson a bit and said, let's limit the mistakes. It does still come down to their defense. They've had two straight games now where they were very solid. But I'm in the wait and see. Let me see you do it over the course of a year, the rest of the season, against the really top teams before I'm going to declare you the best team in that conference.
What you saw from the Cardinals, much less, basically nothing from Murray on the ground.
And then those last four plays, that inability to make the two-minute drill work this time around. You're not going to get a Hail Mary every week, of course. But the way the drive stalled, Tim, what did you think was the main source of all that?
You're not going to get a Hail Mary every week, but you can try to find DeAndre Hopkins. And they didn't try to find DeAndre Hopkins, and he wasn't the leader in targets. I do think they had enough time for Murray to do some running on that drive. I thought they handled it pretty poorly.
Zaire Spain?
Yeah, Seattle was without their top two cornerbacks, and somehow they didn't make them pay for that. I agree with Tim. There needed to be more balance, especially on that last drive. Even though Murray's legs hadn't got them much to that point, you needed to look at what Seahawks were giving you and try to use his legs, and they didn't.
Kevin Blackstone?
Well, the thing is that Kyler Murray, with those 10 touchdowns right on the ground, wasn't able to do anything last night. They rely on him way too much. I mean, we love to see it, and he's a fantastic athlete, but you know what? That's not a formula for success going forward.
But hold on a second. They weren't relying on him on the ground yesterday, right? For whatever reason, whether his shoulder, which they were working for most of the game, was an issue. But talk to me about the last four plays. There was a timeout on third down that Murray looked like he wanted to play through, and Kingsbury called from the line. And they had a couple 50-50 balls in there, too. Kevin Blackstone, was it Kingsbury making the right calls down the stretch, or was it Murray not having his A-plus game?
Well, I don't think he was having his A-plus game. I don't think there's any question about that. He was going up against a better defense than I think anyone thought he was going to have to go up against. But he couldn't make the plays last night. Give credit to the Seattle defense. They were prepared for anything Kyler Murray was going to try and do.
Yeah, so you're saying Seahawks defense was better than as they were purported to be. And they were reported to be the worst defense of all time. So,
right.
And Jackie Mack, how about you?
I think something was up with Kyler Murray, Tony. You mentioned him being worked on the sidelines. He was grimacing every time he made a play. So if you've got a bad shoulder and you're worried about it for the long haul, you're not going to be rushing down the middle of the field and getting crunched by a Seattle defense that's been a little bit rejuvenated. So I understand completely why maybe he held back a little bit. I just don't think he was right last night. I think he was
hurt.
Tell
the show one last thing you want to ask.
I would go back to what Sarah started with to the level that I understood it, which is that Seattle, Arizona, and the Rams all have high ceilings and low floors. And if you go week to week, there's going to be a lot of jumping around right to the finish line.
Okay.
Well said.
That's Sarah's point. Then I'll give Sarah the point there. I mean, that's not very. That's not a move
you
would expect from someone with 486 career wins, giving the points away to the opponent.
Dole out a little.
We're going to move on. Now to the news of the day from the NFL. Saints Falcons Sunday. Taysom Hill will get his first career start at quarterback. He's thrown 18 career passes in the NFL. Sean Payton going with Hill over Jameis Winston. We talked about this earlier this week, that it was a possibility that Payton is besotted with Hill. One incredibly blockheaded individual surmised it would be totally Sean Payton to announce he was starting Hill playing for the first play, then to go to Winston. Schefter reporting that Winston will not be a part of any offensive package Sunday. Sarah Spain, you're shaking your head no. How do you read what the Saints are doing here?
I completely agree with what you posited several days ago. This is a total fraudulent move to try to trick the Falcons into not preparing for Jameis Winston. And I'm not usually a conspiracy theorist. If a YouTube video with 30 views is the only one telling you the truth, they're probably not actually telling you the truth. But in this case, I'm all in on the conspiracy. I do think they're hoping that there will be an expectation of Taysom Hill, and instead it will be Jameis. And I think it will be both, actually. It wouldn't make any sense. There is no reason that you would offer up to Schefter to tell everybody that he won't be involved at all, other than to try to send them in the wrong direction. We will see a lot of
Jackie McMahon.
Okay, I agree with everything you just said except for this. The Atlanta Falcons, if they're doing their job, aren't they preparing for both quarterbacks? No matter what Sean Payton says publicly or source to Adam Schefter, it's your job as a coach to prepare. You could say, yeah, we'll prepare for Taysom Hill, but we don't believe for a minute that Jameis Winston isn't going to see any of the light of day in this game. Suppose Taysom Hill gets crunched on the first play and he gets hurt. Who's your quarterback? It's got to be Jameis Winston, unless I'm missing something. So I understand where you're coming from, but I don't think Sean Payton's given the Atlanta Falcons
enough
credit.
Well, then, Jackie, accept it for its full representation that Taysom Hill, 18 career passes, is getting the start over Jameis Winston here.
I get it.
What do you think of that?
Well, it's a pretty big indictment of Winston now, isn't it? Or a lack of faith in Winston, who we know has a propensity to make big mistakes and throw a lot of interceptions. I mean, Taysom Hill has had 80 more snaps as a wide receiver than he has as a quarterback. That doesn't give me a lot of confidence if I'm The Saints.
Jim Calishaw.
I'm going to go a little bit different direction, just say that Sean Payton obviously, very obviously, has a fascination with Taysom Hill that he's shown for several years, and he wants to give him a chance. And I think we have to remember that Tim Tebow won a playoff game in this league, so when you don't know what you're going against, maybe he can do something against the Falcons. I do find the whole thing about them saying, Schefter saying Winston's not a part of any package, that does sound very conspiratorial. I don't know what else to call it. There's no reason to make an announcement like that unless he's being punished for something. And we don't know any reason to punish him. But Peyton loves Taysom Hill, and I do believe he is going to play and play quarterback.
Okay. Kevin Blackstone. Clearly, Sean Payton, you can ride on Sean Payton knowing what he's doing. He's seeing them both in practice. You may not have seen Hill throw passes in the NFL, but he's seen him throwing them in practice. What do you think of his decision to start Hill over Winston here?
Well, you know, maybe there's an economic thing here, too, because they're paying Taysom Hill an awful lot of money just to be a gadget player on that team. So that could be something there, too. And like you said, you know, he's watched him. And Jameis Winston has not had all of the offseason reps with this team that Taysom Hill obviously has had over the time that he's been there. So maybe there's a familiarity thing. But it clearly does not make sense. I'll believe it when I see it. You're talking about a guy who was the number one draft choice was 5 years ago, a five-time starter, a Pro Bowler in this league. I know the 30 interceptions last year that led the league, but he also threw for 5,100 yards, 33 touchdowns, 626 attempts to lead the league. Stop! It's crazy.
Jackie, one last word?
Stop!
Well, here's the other possibility. We're thinking about a traditional quarterback. Maybe if you're Sean Payton, you're going to run Taysom Hill like the Wildcat, which we have seen occasionally throughout the years in the NFL. So maybe it's going to be a little bit of a non-traditional quarterback role, in which case he feels more comfortable with Taysom.
They are playing the Atlanta Falcons, who, well, they played better of late. They have shown an ability to lose games in interesting ways. Who you got, Calishaw?
I still have the Saints. Atlanta's played better, not better enough.
Blackstone?
Saints.
Jackie McMullen.
Saints.
All this
Winston,
positing. All this positing. You should have just told me that to start. That would have been enough for me. Positive traction. Hey, Sarah, have you been working on a Marissa Tomei maybe for next Halloween?
I need to work on that. Positive. My biological clock is ticking.
That was not even close.
Wasn't good.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Last time the Titans and Ravens met, it was January. It was Derrick Henry, 200 yards. It was 3 turnovers for Lamar Jackson. Tennessee, the enormous win. They both come into this one slightly worse for wear. Jackson, 7 total touchdowns, 7 total turnovers the last 4 games. Kevin Blackstone, what to buy, what to sell, Baltimore, Tennessee.
Well, what I'm going to buy is that this is a big game for the Titans because they've lost 3 of their last 4. They've fallen off the top of that ladder. And you know what? They also don't have the tiebreaker against the Ravens right now or the Browns, I believe. So this is a big game for them, a must-win for them.
Jackie Mack?
Yeah, and the Titans, they're really scuffling, Tony. One of their big strengths last year was their defense. This year, they're one of the worst teams in the league on third down. Now, I think you're going to see Derrick Henry again based on what happened with Baltimore last week when the New England rushed for 173 yards. If I'm the Titans, I'm running it all day.
See? But there's been a lot of games for Tennessee where it takes a while to get Derrick Henry going and to get that offense moving. I'm giving Lamar and Baltimore's offense a pass for that ridiculous New England weather. I think Baltimore wins this game handily.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, everyone's speaking to how important this is for the Titans, and it is, of course, but the Ravens, too, even though that weather kind of took away us analyzing that game with the Pats, it still counts as an L, and from what we've seen, they've really struggled to get back to what we saw last year. I think this is a great opportunity with the difficulty that the Titans have getting to the quarterback for Lamar to find not only his feet, but also have that open up their offensive choice.
Would you say it's a bigger game for Lamar Jackson or bigger for the Ravens as a team, or can you not even split the two, Sarah?
I don't know that you could split them because I think their success is based around whether he.
So you've got Baltimore. Tim's got Baltimore. Kevin, you make a pick.
Baltimore.
Jackie, it sounds like you have Tennessee.
I'm taking the Titans.
We'll move on.
And what's wrong with you people? You can't do things in the rain? Stop it, all of you. Ridiculous.
Buy or sell to the Warriors and Kelly Oubre. Jackie, do you buy Oubre as the year-long plan to fill in for Klay Thompson?
I do. You know, Steph and Draymond Green, you don't want to punt another year of their prime. Oubre, don't expect him to shoot like Klay Thompson does from the three-point line, but he is getting better as a shooter. You know what I think, too? I think he's got great potential as a switching defender. He's long and he's lean. I think this is a really good decision for Golden
Yesterday, State. Some on this panel predicted they would not make the playoffs. George Zidato, I'm going to throw your name out there, without Klay Thompson. Does this move put them back in the conversation, the playoff team, Jackie?
I think so, yes.
TC, how about you?
Playoffs means normally in a regular season, about 44 wins. It'll be a little less than that in a 72-game season. Kelly Oubre is a good player. We talked about him a few days ago. He'd be a good fit for Oklahoma City. Now he's going to be a good fit for Golden State, I think. And he's not Klay Thompson, but I think he's good enough that they make the
playoffs. Tower
Speed. Yeah, I think it's a good move. He's on an expiring deal, so they get a year to kind of figure out whether it's a long-term solution or just in the immediate time. And to Jackie's point, they don't want to give up another year. I think a lot of people are too out on the Warriors because we haven't seen them be great in a while. We'll see him with Wiseman. We'll see what Wiggins can do. We'll see what Steph can be healthy again. And now you throw in Oubre, a guy who's going to be hungry to get them back to what they were. I think they're absolutely a playoff team.
Well, Kelly Oubre was good with whatever team that was that drafted him and gave up on him. But this is not about
like
Kelly Oubre. I still think this is about what you may be able to get out of Andrew Wiggins before it's all said and done.
You know what I like about Oubre? Yes, I know you wanted to throw some shade to your hometown team, Washington, Kevin. When he was with Phoenix, he was responsible for designing their city jerseys, the Valley Boys city jersey, and he did, and they look great. Cool. And now he doesn't wear them.
Oh, that does stink.
We'll move on. Buy or sell three, Nolan Arenado to the Dodgers. Don't rule it out. John Paul Morosi, MLB.com. Colorado's future with Arenado has been in doubt basically from the second they signed him long-term. They owe him $199 million over the next 6 years if he doesn't opt out next year. A trade somewhere always a possibility, but to the champs. And your division rival, Tim, does trading him to the Dodgers sound possible, advisable, inevitable to you?
I don't think it's inevitable, and I'm not even sure it's likely to happen. You know, the Dodgers and Andrew Friedman went away from their norm by giving Mookie Betts that big contract. They normally don't do that long-term big money to everyday players. I don't know if they're going to break the mold again for Arenado.
You don't think they'd be swayed to make a move for Arenado? How about you, Sarah Spain? You had your chance.
I think they will be. I think the key is whether they care about the winning as much now that they've done it. But they have a real chance of losing Corey Seager after next year. So you bring in Arenado on a long-term deal. You got a guy who's really hungry to win a title and hasn't yet. You insert him into a lineup that hopefully doesn't have that World Series slump. And then if you lose Seager, it's not as big of a loss.
The most valuable player for the Los Angeles Dodgers during the playoffs was Mookie Betts, the guy that they brought in from Boston for a boatload of money. That system works for them all of a sudden. I can see them doing it again.
Jackie McMahon.
It's Los Angeles. It's almost required to do it, to take on the big names. And Arenado's made it clear how unhappy he is with it, the fact that Colorado doesn't win enough. So you know that he's, I think he's from L.A. too.
He's a huge Dodgers fan growing up, yes. But the idea this would,
you would
trade him to a division rival? You get to see him, you know, whatever, 19 times a year right in your face? Jackie, that's a tough one to swallow.
It's not ideal. It's not ideal. It's not ideal. But if you're Colorado, you got to get something if he's going to walk.
Well, Tim Cavanaugh, Sarah Spate, not ideal.
Not ideal.
But posit this. You guys can have your own showdown. Oh, you're starting the weekend right now, Sarah? Okay. Well, maybe that would be a more interesting showdown, maybe, if you do a little bit of that, then you come back. We'll see you in a little bit back Kevin Blackstone, Jackie McMullen, showdown in 4 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NBA free agency, T-minus 33 minutes. There's a lot we don't know. The Bogdanovich mystery, but here's something we do know. Gordon Hayward opting out of the Celtics, passing on $34 million. Jackie Mack, does that make sense?
It does, because it's not really $34 million. It'll be knocked down quite a bit because of the pandemic. Catastrophic injuries, didn't work out here in Boston. Now he can sign a multi-year deal elsewhere and still get a lot of money and play on a contending team if they do a good sign and trade. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's if. But right now he's on a contending team, and maybe he should feel like he has something he owes back to the Boston Celtics and the fans up there to play healthy and to be the player that they thought he was going to be.
Been very star-crossed for him, but I would stay just to play in those jerseys. We showed you the Suns jersey before. Love those new Celtics alternates.
I like them too.
Point. Kevin Blackstone. NBA non-free agent news of the day. Toronto Raptors will start the 2020 season in Tampa. The Tampa Raptors. This, of course, because of COVID. What kind of ring does the Tampa Raptors have? What kind of effect do you think it'll have on this team, Kevin?
It's kind of like the Utah Jazz. Did you know that because of the continental drift, there are actually no dinosaur fossils within the state of Florida? And now they get the Raptors. How does that work out?
Wow.
Okay, wow, that's incredible.
It is incredible.
And you deserve a point for that, but I still think that the Toronto Raptors are getting screwed again. They're the ones that had to go so early down to the bubble, and now they got to play outside their country. KB deserves a win.
He does. This is incredible news. News we can use. I will say this, Toronto Blue Jays didn't make the playoffs when they couldn't play in Toronto, had to play in Buffalo for baseball this past year. But, I mean, come on. Oh, Kevin Blackstone, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
I just want to tell you about a guy named Daryl Hayes. He's a coach of St. John's football high school team out in Frederick, Maryland. He lost 53-0 last weekend, and during the loss, he was having a heart attack. Stayed through the entire game, left arm going out and everything. And gets to the end, and guess what he does? Does he go right to the hospital? No, he gives an interview to the reporter covering the game. Way to go. Good one for journalism.
That's the way to go? I don't know if that's advisable, Kevin. I'm happy to hear he's okay.
Definitely not.
He had a stent after the game. He's okay.
He's okay.
He's okay.